It is that season, Christmas. So, Merry Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year, but you know what? For so many, it is also the most stressful time of the year. All the shopping, all the get-togethers, all the shopping, all the traffic, all the shopping, all the decorating, and all the shopping. Being with family you don't usually see, and all the shopping. I keep talking about shopping. Wow. You know what? If you take Jesus out of the Christmas season, you know what you get? Just a dogfight on Black Friday. I mean, that's what it becomes. But I'm so glad that we have Jesus in our Christmas. Amen. I heard about one man that had to do some last-minute Christmas shopping. That's the worst, right? The last-minute Christmas shopping. Well, you know, shopping is hard enough for us guys because we're amateurs. But this guy, he had to take his three-year-old with him. That's just too much. So he's shopping, and you know how it goes sometimes with a toddler and when you're shopping. This kid was throwing an absolute fit. He's screaming and crying and all this going on. And the dad, he's just saying, "Now, Albert, calm down. Albert, it's going to be all right. Albert, just breathe." And a lady that's standing nearby, she says, "Sir, I'm so impressed. I see all these parents just yelling at their kids, and you're so kind and gentle in the way that you talk to Albert." He said, "Ma'am, I'm Albert. My son is Sam." Yeah, sometimes it's like that. But just in the stress of the season, we're just trying to get through. But by the way, I got a tip for you parents that have to deal with kids at Christmas. You know, I don't know what it is. Sometimes the kids just go crazy at Christmas. So here's a little tip, something you might try is you wrap a bunch of empty boxes, put them under the tree with your kids' names on them, and whenever one of them misbehaves, you get one of those boxes and you throw it into the fireplace. But yeah, not really, okay? Here we go. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, sleep in heavenly peace. Where is the Christmas peace? It's so strange even that we sing this song when if you consider what was happening on that night when Jesus was born, we need to remember that Jesus was born in the barn. Anybody ever been in a barn? Anybody ever smelled a barn? Do you know why a barn smells? Because it's nasty. This is where Jesus was born. And I just want to tell you, a lot of the time we kind of adjust. You know, we clean up that picture, that manger scene. I mean, we got the little snowball thing that you shake and the snow falls all around the stable and the manger. But real life's not like that. Real life wasn't like that when Jesus was born, and real life still isn't like that. But yet in the midst of real life, we can have peace. Psychologists tell us that for many, Christmas is the most depressing time of the year. It seems that Christmas, it just has a way of bringing the focus and the attention and magnifying financial problems. I mean, if you got financial trouble, guess what? It shows up at Christmas. It has a way of magnifying or revealing family problems. It has a way of uncovering discontent and disappointment in our life, and it leaves a lot of people depressed this time of the year. Where is that joy of Christmas? We're going to read part of the Christmas story this morning, beginning in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" You know what? I imagine that they were totally freaked out. They're out here in the fields where it's all quiet and they're just looking up at the stars and everything is calm and quiet. It was peaceful. All they heard was the bleating of sheep. And then all of the sudden, the heavens open up and here are these angels. We know the story. But can you imagine how it was for them that night? And so the first thing the angel says to them is, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings." That's good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior has been born. That was the good news of great joy, that this Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." But they said, "We bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." All people. That's not just me and my four and no more. That's not just for my kind of people. Listen, that's for all people. Every person of every nation, of every race, of every background. It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor, educated, uneducated. It doesn't matter if they're sophisticated or redneck. It's for all people. Good news of great joy. Great joy. We need that great joy. We need that great joy in our day. Right now, we need that great joy. And there is this good news that the Savior has come. Good news. Don't let it be old news. You see, that's part of the problem with the body of Christ today is, we know, it's just old news. But it needs to be fresh and real to us every day that our Savior has come. He hadn't gone away. Our Savior has come. Good news that brings great joy. I'm telling you, a Savior is exactly what the world needs today. Our world needs a Savior. Do you realize that Jesus came during such a dark time? There was so much oppression, so much hypocrisy, so much bitterness and hatred and anger. Oh, it's not at all unlike our day right now. Because I can tell you that in my years, I have never seen so much division, so much conflict, so much anger. It is amazing to me what is going on in our country, where it's brother against brother. People in such anger and conflict with one another. And so it was when Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Such a dark time. A lot of people don't realize it when we just read the Christmas story maybe, or we sing those Christmas songs. But Isaiah 9 and 2 tells us, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah prophesies about the birth of Jesus 700 years before. It's amazing prophecy as he tells about the birth of Christ. This child who will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This passage or this verse is quoted in the book of Matthew. But it's talking about that in this dark world, all of a sudden a light would come in a dark place. The Savior would finally come. People burdened down with their sins. And a Savior comes to bring forgiveness. Think about how many times Jesus said to people, "Your sins are forgiven. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." These were the kinds of things that Jesus spoke to people, that he was willing to fellowship, to be around sinners, people that maybe the religious people of the day would have nothing to do with. And yet Jesus brought forgiveness to those people. That's what the Savior did. People who were hopelessly bound in some way, bound by demons. Jesus sets them free. That's the Savior. A Savior, I'll tell you, sick people, oppressed people, they need a Savior that can heal them and make them whole. People that don't have any hope, they've just given up. The Savior brings eternal hope. People full of anxieties and fears of all kinds, and He comes as the Prince of Peace. The Savior brings peace. People who are sad and depressed, and He comes to heal the brokenhearted. He comes to bring great joy. Great joy. Great joy. I'm telling you this morning, the Savior has come. We need to not forget it. We need to not let it be old news to us. It's good news. See, all the parties, the family times, the giving, all of that is a wonderful part of the way that we celebrate Christmas. But I'm telling you, if we lose our focus on Christ, if we lose our focus on this, that our Savior has come, then there's no joy. Oh, that's where the joy comes from. It comes from Jesus. It comes from knowing that we have a Savior who is present, who's real. He hadn't left us alone here in this world just to deal with it on our own. No, we have a Savior. Ruth Bell Graham said, "This is Christmas, the real meaning of it. God loving, searching, giving Himself to us. Man needing, receiving, giving Himself to God. Redemption's glorious exchange of gifts, without which we cannot live, without which we cannot give anything of lasting value. This is the meaning of Christmas, the wonder and the glory of it." Oh, we need to never forget. This is what Christmas is all about, that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's all about God reconciling us to Himself, that we might have a relationship with Him. That's where the joy comes from. The angel told Joseph to name Him Jesus. He said, because He will save His people from their sins. Anybody here this morning been forgiven of sins? I hope that you're not carrying a load of sin this morning, a burden, a guilt of sin this morning. If you are, I want to tell you that there is a Savior who can lift that from you. There's a Savior who can lift all the condemnation, the cloud of guilt from off your life so that you can be free from that. But you know, it's not just a message for the lost, because we all know we still blow it. We still make mistakes. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because you know what? It's all of us. We all know. And sometimes we can get so far that we just stray away from the Lord. And like David, we need to come to God in repentance. But we also need to pray like David, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I think there's some people in our day, in our time, that need to pray, restore to me the joy of my salvation. That joy of knowing God, of being right with God, of being able to walk with God and have a real relationship with God, that brings great joy. Being free. Free from the past, the failures, the wrongs. To know our sins have been taken away. To know that our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's cause for celebration. Good news that His blood still washes away every sin. But not only that He forgives sins, but that He frees from sin. That our Savior, He's come to deliver. Let me tell you what the best news you could ever give somebody who has an addiction, who's bound by some sin. There's a Savior that can set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I want to tell you, that news brings great joy. Oh, when people get set free, there's great joy. You know, the Bible talks about when calves are let loose from the stall. When you let a calf out that's been stalled up for a long time, they run kicking up their heels. They are so excited. And you know what? That's the way it ought to be for us who know the Lord, because we're free. Jesus has set us free. Our Savior, He's come to heal sickness and disease. By His stripes, the Bible says, we were healed. Jesus walked this earth. There was never one person that we know of, listen, in all of Scripture, there's never one person who came to Jesus for healing that He didn't heal. We know that our Savior is a healer. He saves from sickness and disease. And so, you know what, church? We need to believe Him. Just like Jesus was walking this earth 2,000 years ago, just as if He was walking this earth the same way today. He hasn't changed. No, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I tell you, when people get healed, oh, there's great joy. We need to believe that our Savior, our healer, has come. We need to look to Him and trust in Him. So many people who have no hope, they've just given up on their dreams. And I'm telling you, it's just rampant in our world that so many people just don't see how life is going to get any better. But when you know that the Savior has come, there's always hope. Oh, He restores hope, gives hope to the hopeless. He came to save us from all of the worries and fears, the turmoil. It's part of what the angels declared that day was peace on earth. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we need to understand that this Savior, He brings peace. I know when people say peace on earth, a lot of the time they're talking about they're hoping for and they're looking for world peace. Well, that day will come when King Jesus rules and reigns. But during this time, that doesn't mean that we can have no peace, because that King reigns and rules in our heart. And in our heart is the kingdom. In our heart, we have the peace of God, a peace that passes understanding. I'm just telling you that our Savior has come, and it's cause for great joy. He's come, this Savior, He comes to heal the brokenhearted, to take away our sadness, our sorrow. He bore our griefs and He carried our sorrows. Those who are brokenhearted, He is near to heal. So many living lives that seem to have no meaning, no real fulfillment in life. We have a Savior who fills us until our cup runs over. We have a Savior who gives purpose and meaning to our life. He came to save us. Save us. I remember when I was just a boy and I would hear people talk about being saved and a Savior. I always thought, saved from what? So I want to tell you, to save us from the sinful human condition and all that it brings with it, all the heartache, all the stress, all the sadness, all the bondage, all of the sin, to save us from it all. That's what our Savior has done. Oh, how we need to remember it every day. It's good news of great joy. Don't let it be old news to you. It's got to be good news of great joy. You know, when you talk about joy, I think sometimes people get mixed up because they're really thinking about happiness. Happiness is when the circumstances of our life are good. Happiness is when, you know, everything's coming together, everything is just the way we want, and we're happy. But joy goes much deeper than that. See, happiness comes from the outside, from things going well. But joy comes from the inside. It doesn't come from things going well, because you can have joy even in the midst of a struggle, even in the midst of conflict, even when you're facing illness, even when you're facing a need. You can still have joy, because joy comes from knowing a person, a Savior. He's the source of our joy. Joy's got to go deeper than the circumstances of the moment. John 15:11, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, the angel said good news of great joy. And Jesus makes it clear here that he wants us to have his joy, that our joy should be full. He said, "I've spoken these things to you, that your joy might be full." We can't focus on our circumstances and our joy be full. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that your joy might be full." We need to focus on the word of the Lord, on the words of Jesus and what he says to us. Because when we do, we realize we have a reason to rejoice. We have a cause to have joy in every moment of our life. Joy is not just happiness. It's so much deeper. Happiness is when you like your circumstances. But joy, listen, it doesn't come from jokes. Laughing is not the same as joy. I mean, if that were true, then, man, we just all need to go to the comedy club. But here's the thing. You can be laughing and yet still be heartbroken on the inside. You can be laughing one minute and sad the next minute, crying in your beer. Because the truth is that joy has to be something much deeper than just a joke and a moment of laughter that's going to pass. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. Laughter is a good thing. Laughter doeth good like a medicine, the Bible says. And man, I think we need more of it. But we need to understand that this joy that Jesus gives, it's not just a moment of happiness, but it is a deep, abiding joy that's there through the hard times, the difficult times, and whatever you're facing. Listen, through the lonely times, this joy is still there. It's how the Apostle Paul had joy even when he was a prisoner. It was because his joy was in the Lord, not in his circumstance. You know, when we're born again, Jesus lives in us through the person of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit produces joy in our life. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It is a gladness, a cheerfulness that flows from the inside. We don't just grit our teeth and put a smile on our face and pretend to be happy because, well, that's what us Christians are supposed to be. No, it's something that comes from the inside. It's a joy that's abiding. We need that joy. The angel said, great joy. I'm telling you, it's for today. The Savior is still here. The Savior is still real. The Savior is still setting free. He's still healing. He's still moving and working, healing people's hearts. Listen, he hasn't left. No, the Savior's here. It's cause for great joy. That's where our joy comes from, is from our relationship with the Savior. He's the joy giver, and he wants you to have joy. He said that you might have my joy, that your joy might be full. I want you to realize when Jesus said those words in John chapter 15 and verse 11, this was on the night that he was to be betrayed. You know what he was about to face. But think about the disciples that he said this to. They were about to go through the worst night of their life. And he says, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And so I want you to know that whatever you face in life and whatever you're dealing with in life, you can still have the joy of the Lord. You don't have to get down and defeated. You don't have to give in and give up. No, you can have the joy of the Lord through it all. This was written in the book of John for our sakes. It was written many, many, many years after they had all lived through it. But it was written for us so we would understand that in the worst times of life, there's a Savior who can still give you joy. He said, "These things I've spoken unto you." What things? I think that we should look to all of the Word of God. All of the principles and promises of the Word of God will help you to focus on eternal things. It'll help you to build your faith and look to Jesus during the difficult times. But in the context of when he said it, in the first 10 verses of John 15, he is focused on abiding in him and bearing fruit. Abiding in him and bearing fruit. And I want to tell you that that's where the joy comes from, is your relationship with Jesus, abiding in him. As long as you're abiding in him, there's always going to be joy. As long as you're spending time with him, you're walking with him, you're talking with him, there's going to be joy. And we're going to be fruitful. And you know what? I found that there's such great joy when God uses us. I mean, when you're walking with the Savior and you're seeing God move and work in your life and you're seeing other people's hearts and lives change, there's great joy in that. And Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full." We just got to remember, that's the source of our joy. We got to keep him as our focus, our Savior, great joy. That's why Paul had joy. Remember when Paul and Silas were arrested and put in prison for preaching the gospel? They didn't get mad and didn't get sad. They got glad and they began to lift their voices in praise to God. And God brought a mighty deliverance. That's our Savior. But we never have real joy if we think it comes from circumstances. Because I got to tell you, there's always going to be something that goes wrong in life. But our joy is in him. It is in our relationship with Jesus. Listen to what Peter says about our relationship with Jesus in 1 Peter 1:8. "Whom having not seen, you love." Anybody love Jesus? Haven't seen him, but oh, how I love him. "Though you do not see him yet, believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Oh, if you really believe in this Savior, it doesn't matter that you haven't seen him with the natural eye. When you really believe, there is inexpressible joy. Joy, great joy, because our Savior has come. I just want to encourage you this morning. Jesus wants you to have joy. John 16, 24, he says, "Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." I think this is such a fantastic promise from the Lord Jesus. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And you know what? A lot of people will take this verse and they'll pull it out of context and maybe try to use it in some selfish, carnal way. They try to use it as just another way to get what they want or to fix their circumstance. Because if I can fix my circumstance, well, then I would be happy. But here's the thing. We need to realize that yes, he wants to answer our prayers. Yes, he wants to bring healing and deliverance and salvation. Yes, he wants to move and work in hearts and lives. But here's a great prayer. Lord, give me your joy. He's promised it. It's for you. Ask, he says, and you'll receive, that your joy might be full. What if we ask for that joy, just to restore our joy, to make it fresh and new again? What a fantastic promise. And when we're hopeless, when we're defeated, when we're facing all kinds of problems, we have a Savior. See, we're never defeated because we have a Savior. We are never beyond His redemption. We're never beyond His reach and His mighty arm to save us. We just got to keep looking to Him, resting, trusting in Him. No matter what the battle, He's our Savior. Come back to the place of simple faith and trust that the Savior has come to save us. Stand with me, we're going to pray.